Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekend discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Well, my guest today is Jeronimo Esteve Abril, a good friend, golfer, fellow golfer, and one of the things we're going to discuss is, you know, why golf is important for business people. Jeronimo is a very well-known business person, a business leader here in Puerto Rico, and a civic leader. He just had his biography published about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Right, Jeronimo?
That's right. Okay.
Have a good day. Good day to you.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to, through you, tell what is my experience in life.
Okay, that's a broad one. Yes,
covers
good.
Covers business and covers civic labor and whatever. The idea of the publishing the book was not my own idea. It was the idea of my sister, my older sister, and my brother Humberto. Both of them have been teachers, professors in university, and they know me very well. Of course, I am their brother, and they decided by themselves to talk to a writer called Armando Añel, who works with Carlos Alberto Montaner, one of the most famous Cuban writers.
Right. And his articles come out all the time in the newspapers, right?
And
right.
They were looking for somebody who through his life could be shown to the people that working hard with faith in God, you can achieve what you're looking for.
So they found the right person.
That's right. Well, they said, thank you for telling me about that. But anyway, so I approved them to write my biography. I didn't look what they said in the biography because, honest, I didn't want to look. It was a biography, no autobiography.
Right.
So it was written, as I mentioned, by a writer, Armando Añel, and whatever has been written there was checked by my brother Humberto or my sister Emilce.
What surprised you when you first read the book? What was the thing that surprised you the most?
As I mentioned to you several times, I didn't know what they wrote in the book,
right,
because I didn't want to know that. The only thing that I knew was on the book was the governor, what the governor wrote, because the secretary of the government, or the governor, I mean, were not supposed to do so. She didn't know, and she sent me a copy of what the governor sent to the writer of the book. Something else.
Incidentally, what Luis Fortunio says, he's a good friend of mine.
That's right.
You know, saying that we've been very fortunate to have you to put Puerto Rico as your place and make it your homeland.
I think that one of the best decisions I made in my life, number one, was to choose Mary as my wife, to marry with her 60 years ago. The second one was when the situation in Cuba became very bad for business people, mainly. I say mainly for business people because I was not involved in politics, so I saw that all the abuses that the government made, but it wasn't against me. So one day, my father told me, Jeronimo, you want to keep being in business, this is not the place where you have to be. Look for some place else. So I had a friend who I met in one of the conventions outside of Cuba, one of the lines that I sold in Cuba was the jukeboxes.
Right.
And the coin operating machine. So one of those conventions, I met a guy by the name of Jose Romero. I make a good friendship with him. And so one day Jose knew what was going in Cuba, and it wasn't coincidence with what my father told me. And he called me and said, why don't you come here? Maybe you can work here with me.
And here was Puerto Rico. And here was Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico, that's right. At that time, everybody was leaving for Miami or someplace else. Nobody thought to come to Puerto Rico because the idea of Puerto Rico was that not a rich country, there was not too many opportunities to be here. But I say, let me see what Bro Jose thinks. So one day, at that time, we still had, between the US government and the Cuban government, they still had relations. And I have my visa to come to the States. So I took a flight, went to, came to Puerto Rico through Miami. I was the only way to come here at that time, through Miami. And I went here, talked to Jose, saw the business, and immediately I felt that this was the place to come in, because everything was going to be done. Puerto Rico was a land of opportunity at that time,
right,
for business, whatever.
You foresaw a great future.
That's right. I thought it was a great future. And I remember that I called Mary, my wife. I said, Mary, we are coming to Puerto Rico. I said, Hero, are you crazy? Puerto Rico?
Where is that?
Why do you say so? Say, well, Mary, everything can be done here. This is a land of opportunity. I said, oh, hello. Look at the Puerto Rican who live in New York. Look what they go to New York because they need to have a job and they need to something to do.
Right.
Puerto Rico, it's not a good place for us. Have faith in me. We come to Puerto Rico. So I went back to Cuba, made all my arrangements I had to do. Went to the, I was a friend of the U.S. Ambassador in Cuba at that time, who was also a member of the Rotary Club. And I went to see him and say, I want the resident visa. And he said, no problem. Go to Santiago de Cuba. Don't do it here in Havana. Go to Santiago de Cuba. Talk to the consul. I will call him so he will give you the visa, the resident visa.
No, and I you know, reading the book, this girl, I just imagine 16 pieces of luggage.
It was at the time.
And $15. So you had
right.
More luggage than you had dollars.
Well, so I went over to the embassy, to the consulate. They gave me the resident visa for Mary, for me, and for her, my son, who at that time was 8 years old.
Right.
So I went back to Havana. Pick up all this stuff, call Jose and say, Jose, we are going to Puerto Rico. Oh, wonderful, hero. We are waiting for you here. So the only money I had was $15, because about 4 months before that, we still have some dollars. But I owe some money to different suppliers. And,
especially a bank, right?
Yeah, that's right. And my father,
I thought it was a great story. Tell us the story, which is really a philosophy that your father imbued on you about your obligations,
right,
before you enjoyed your benefits.
My father told me, how much do you have in the bank? I said, about $100,000.
$120,000, the book says.
That's right, okay. $120,000. And he said, how much do you owe? I said, what about that? He said, pay.
Right.
Pay to whom?
Were you tempted to...
So
not
I,
pay or to well, reach a, or reach an agreement
have,
with
have
them?
Something. But anyway, it was the order of my father. It was the way that he teaches me to do the things.
Yeah, yeah.
And
would that go? It says, hay que cumplir con las obligaciones antes de disfrutar los beneficios.
That means that you have to pay for whatever you owe before you can enjoy the money that you make.
Some people want to enjoy before they put in their effort.
Some people spend money and enjoy, and they don't care how much they owe. You see, but in my case,
and that's why that story is so good, because it's a clear example where you're kind of tempted. You're leaving the country. You're going, and you're in really difficult situations.
That's right. So we, as I mentioned to you, came back to Havana, organized whatever I had to do, a package, and made 16 suitcases. Because at that time, you were allowed to take out of the country clothes, no appliances, and no money.
And no jewelry, obviously.
No jewelry.
All right.
So, I remember at the time I left Havana, I left Cuba, and my father took me to the airport. I was at that time when he saw me for the first time worried, because I say to myself, Jesus, what the hell I am? Where I am going? With what?
Yeah.
I was at the time where my father told me, I don't even remember, the man is defeated when he declares defeated himself. That was something that has been part of my life.
You're not defeated unless you accept defeat.
Many occasions you feel, oh my gosh, and then I remember my father's words and I say, no, I am not defeated. Mm-hmm. I will keep going.
And the other one, I thought was something about luchar.
Right. Well, my father also teaches me that the life, that's what my mother said.
That's your mother, I said. Yeah. That was your mother.
My mother said, the life is to, we said in Spanish, luchar. That means to work, put in that way, work. This is only the people who are dead is the one who doesn't have to work.
Only the dead don't have to work.
This is what my mother told me, so I don't want to die, so I keep working. And also she told me, if you want to achieve things in life, you have to work.
The thing in Spanish dice, para triunfar, hay que luchar.
That's right.
Hay triunfar en.
So that's the way it was. So again, you can see in the book.
Yeah.
I came to Puerto Rico.
You're in Puerto Rico so long, and of course, you know, you've had some ties in Dominican Republic, which we'll talk about, and Miami. Did you have any moments where you were thinking seriously of moving to Miami? This I always think of that. That's a real problem for the Cubans.
Well, let me tell you, yes, I did, as everybody, as almost all the Cubans, because Miami, for everybody who didn't know Puerto Rico, was Miami, the land of opportunity, different than Cuba, where the free enterprise can be done. You can have your own business, mm-hmm. You can work, you don't have anybody to whom to report, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You see, but really, again, every time that I have that thought, I was treated so well in Puerto Rico for the Puerto Ricans, friends that I met at that time, mm-hmm. Honest to God. I felt they were friends of mine for many, many years. Also, as I am from Oriente, from Santiago de Cuba, the people of the province of Oriente are the most similar to the Puerto Ricans and also to the people of the Dominican Republic. It's the area.
How would you say, what is the ones from Havana versus the ones from Oriente?
Difference? No, what happened is the following. The occident of Cuba, Havana, province, Matanzas, etc., were close to the Florida.
Right.
Very close, so they had more influence that the people who used to live in the Oriente provinces that are exactly 600 miles by road.
Yeah.
I remember because I used to ride it many times from Havana to Santiago de Cuba in the road, the central road they call that, were 970 kilometers.
Yeah,
it's about 600
all.
Miles. I remember also the planes from Havana to Santiago de Cuba used to take those old DC-3s, two engines.
Right.
It used to take over 4 hours.
3 out 4 hours, yeah.
Longer than that.
Yeah.
So it was long. So practically, it was one culture, but divided in two ways how to work that culture.
Right.
That's the truth. So I felt here so well. I've been living here for 51 years in 1960. October 24, I left Cuba, and October 26, 1960, I arrived here in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I in the book, and I sort of say, you've got two arms and two legs, and I sort of see you spread out in four jurisdictions. You still have tremendous love for Cuba, and you've always fought in other.
And then
you have the Dominican Republic, where you have some major, incredible friends, and you have Florida, and you have Puerto Rico.
Let me tell you, honest. I am a Cuban. I am still working, as you probably know, very hard. That one day, Cuba will be again a democratic country. It will be free.
Right.
I am working for that. I've been working. I will keep working. And I've been a member of different organizations. Mainly, I am member of the board of directors of the Fundación Cubana Norteamericana.
Right.
And also, I am the chairman emeritus of the Fundación for the human rights in Cuba, the one that protects or helps the Damas de Blanco.
I am still working
in that. Also, I was being trained when Bahía de Cochinos, it was a group I've been training in Nicaragua, Central America. You see, the main group that arrived in Cuba, but also here in Puerto Rico, it was a group that every weekend we trained in the hills in Puerto Rico.
Right.
I don't know, you know that or
no? No, I know there was a group in Puerto Rico.
That's right, we were here, and with the people of Hubert Matos, and we were here waiting that the people who landed in Cuba, in Bahía de Cochinos, South Cuba, could do something, so we will attack from the Oriente province.
Right.
We were being trained for that. And in the book, you can see me in uniform also.
Right.
So it was in the hills of Puerto Rico. Every weekend, we say goodbye to Mary, to Hero, and the family, as other people did the same thing. We were a group of about 30 or 40 people that went to the hills. And I have to thank the police of Puerto Rico because through our connection with the police, they allow us to practice the shooting in the camps, where the police practice the shooting here in Isla de Cabra.
Isla Cabra, yeah.
Isla de Cabra,
yep. We have to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Okay.